Mine's not there yet, but we'll call our...
Ours is a little...
Is it?
Slowly
died. All right, I better wait in case the news is going to show. We'll call the June meeting to order. And we're privileged and thankful again for the Pringle Nature Center to share their meeting room with us and host us here this evening. I'm sure, after asking about everybody here, that people have been here before. The history of it, many of you may not know, is the Pringle family farm that was here, that was donated to become the Bristol Woods County Park. And during my time on the county board, finally the fundraising and an effort of the Pringle board and the county brought this to fruition. Where we're sitting in the Nature Center, which is the base camp for this county park. So we like to hold a meeting out here once a year when the weather's nice, and Thomas is the, I don't know, what do you call yourself, Barry?
Chairman
of the board. And there's other board members here, and object of this is for people to see what we've got. One of our little notches on our belt that we have for our county parks. So, Barry, would you like to say something or introduce your board?
Most of them are gone.
Right.
Warren Leisman is here as a vice chairman of the board, and our naturalist, Bell and Mann. The others are off somewhere else.
Okay.
Usually, you come out here in July. But this year we asked him to come out in June because we wanted to publicly recognize a very important person to us. That's John Moody, who's been a great friend and supporter of the Pringle Nature Center and helped us with all of our events out here. And usually when we're doing something, John would say, "What do you need and how can I help?" And he's just been a wonderful supporter of us over the years. And we hate to see him go, but we know he's been telling me some of his plans, and that sounds pretty good. When I retired, he gave me a calendar, and every day on the calendar is Saturday. So we wish you every day to be Saturday. We have a couple of things we'd like to recognize you with. We have a certificate of appreciation for all the years you've put in here. And we also would like to present you with a lifetime membership to the Nature Center. We know we probably won't see you a lot, but when you're down here, we hope you stop in and visit us. So thanks so much. And we also have some cake over here afterwards for you.
John doesn't eat cake. But Barry, remember in January he gets you and Vale out in that cold tent out at the KD Park, trying to rent horse or snowshoes when it should be horseshoes because there's never any snow. I always feel horrible for you guys out there. Well, thank you very much. Nah, you don't have to worry. I got a backup plan. Thanks. So we'll move on to the events of this evening. First would be approval of the minutes from the previous meeting. That would be the May 2nd, 2016 meeting. Roll call, we have everyone here. If everyone received those minutes, if I could have a moment.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Franco, seconded by Supervisor Rambo. All those in favor?
Aye.
Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Boy, you guys weren't here, but that's fine. You know what? I know everyone knows, but since this is your first meeting, why don't you introduce yourselves also?
So my name is Andrew Romanowski. This is my first year at Youth and Governance, and
welcome, Andrew.
Hi, my name is Michael Hurdle. I am a
junior at Indian Trail and the MedSci Academy, and this is my second year in governance. Previously, I was in the PDEC committee.
Andrew, that's your handiwork outside here?
Yes, it is.
So after the meeting, if you didn't notice on the way in, Andrew, could you explain what that is? Because I was given a tour of it here this afternoon.
Yes, it's a chimney swift tower. It's an artificial habitat for the near threatened species birds called the chimney swift. And the reason why I built it is for my Eagle Scout project. And basically, it's just because their habitat is chimneys. And since people are capping their chimneys nowadays and all that stuff, there's not having them. I built this chimney so that way they actually have habitat. And if you actually want to see like a lot of them right about this time, if you just go like downtown by the harbor, like just like look by any of like those old chimneys and up, you know, and like they're just flying around and like they have very distinct sound, like a chittery type of sound. So yeah.
So when you leave here, look to your right when you're headed down the sidewalk and there's a chimney sitting out there that makes no sense. And that's what that is. So Matt showed me, very nice plaque. Thank you for doing that. Chairman, committee members, I've made my comments. Any committee members, supervisors that are here in the audience, any comments this evening? Youth and governance? If not, we'll move on to citizens' comments. Any citizens that would like to address the committee, you'd have 5 minutes to speak. We just ask that you give your name and address. Seeing none, we'll move on to division reports. First this evening is, and we vary this, we don't follow the same order so that some of these guys can actually get home for dinner. Tonight, Gary Sips for the highways.
First item I want to report on is the asphalt paving plan for 2016. This plan will be all of the improvement projects completed by the Division of Highways during the course of this construction season. So there's three sheets I handed out. The first sheet is the location and some of the financial information about the different segments of highway that we're going to resurface. I'll just briefly explain to you how we determine which segments of County Trunk Highway are in need of improvement and how we determine which ones to complete each year. We have a pavement management system that we've been using this basically the same system for many years. It was developed by the State Department of Transportation and the UW system, where we physically go out and rate our pavements every year. That's typically done in March or April, as soon as the winter damage is done to the pavement and we can properly evaluate it. So we take these ratings. It's a 1 to 10 scale of the pavement condition, 1 being the worst, 10 is the best. And we enter it into this system that also takes into account different variables such as the route importance of the road. For example, it's an arterial or a collector or a local road. It takes into account traffic volumes. It takes into account the different pavement and shoulder widths. And it applies these variables to these different segments of road, and what it will do, it will prioritize for us which segments of road are in greatest need of resurfacing. So we use that. We don't just go down the list from 1 to 10 and pick those roads. There's all kinds of other things that we have to take into account. For example, if there's a future construction project scheduled, if there's future development in the area where they're going to be putting in like sewer and water and damaging the road. There's just a number of factors that we have to take into account. So we take all of the, this information and we develop which roads are going to be resurfaced each year. And they aren't necessary, all these roads aren't necessarily the worst condition, but because of the importance of the road, some of the roads get a higher priority on our list. So this this first sheet with the financial information is there's two different types of funding available to us to complete our paving each year. There's a budget of funding that we use for our own crews to do our own asphalt resurfacing. And that budget is this year about $1,480,000. And that funds the material that we use, it funds the labor cost and the pavement marking costs. Those projects funded in the budget this year are those in green on your list. And those projects are, like I said, would be completed but internally. The projects, highway segments in yellow are in the local road improvement program. That is a program where we receive 50% state funding for the projects, and part of the conditions of receiving that funding is all of those projects must be let out to contractors to complete the work. So those numbers are a little bit higher per mile, but they're comprehensive. They include all costs. They include shouldering and just the entire package of resurfacing. So this year we had about $1.5 million in funding available in the local road improvement program. And like I said, 50% of that would be reimbursed through the state. The mileage, we're at about 17.25 miles for the whole program. That is a little bit higher than what we typically would get completed in a year. Typically, we're closer to 13 miles, but we, with the availability of the local road improvement program dollars, we taken advantage of that and boosted up to get some of the backlog of roads that are in need of resurfacing. All of the segments that are on the first page are on the first map that's attached. They're in green. Various locations throughout the county, which typically is the way it happens, although the higher volume roads that are closer to the urbanized areas tend to get deteriorate at a quicker rate. But I think if you look at the second map, it'll show you a history from 2008 to 2016 that And this map also includes this year's program. So it kind of gives you an indication of, you know, what's been happening in the most those recent past as far as our resurfacing program. And this also would include improvement projects such as reconstruction, too. So just to kind of give you an idea of a little bit of the history, or recent history of our program. So we've actually begun our resurfacing already for this year, and we're out in Fox River Park right now, paving all the roads and parking lots in Fox River Park. We do most of the asphalt paving for the other divisions within the county, and we do some work for some of the towns and villages. Typically, Wheatland has some paving that we do every year. Some of the village, Silver Lake, Twin Lakes, sometimes in the past. We've done work for pretty much all of them. And then also for the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, we've got a substantial amount of asphalt work we have to do on the frontage roads of I-94 and on some of the ramps on the north end of the interstate for resurfacing too. So we have a jam-packed paving season ahead of us, and that's why we wanted to get started on the park work this year. And I think probably one of the last projects we'll do also will be in the park, and that'll be at Highway KD, which I think Parks Department can talk to a little bit more about. So that's our plans for the summer, and I don't know if anyone had any questions about that.
Anything for Gary? Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two questions. You mentioned that the dollar amount that you're spending this year resurfacing is a little bit higher than typically because of the LRIP. But is that funding annually, this local road improvement program, is that something that you can count on regularly? Is it a moving target of how much money do you have access to?
It's a biannual program. There's an allocation to every county in the state once every 2 years. And that number has been pretty consistent, around $500,000. And then there's another discretionary program that within the local road improvement program that's not quite so, you can't count on it quite so much, but it's all a component of the state budget process. So whatever is approved within the state budget process to be allocated to the counties is what you receive.
Got it. And just a quick follow-up to that. So next year at this time, when we're having the same discussion, half of the $1.5 million that we have in LRIP, that's our money. Would that money go towards resurfacing as well?
If there is not an allocation to Kenosha County, we will not budget for that other 50%. It wouldn't be included in the budget.
And then just one last question as it relates to the county EZ resurfacing from the state line to ML. Is that going to include a widening of 39th Avenue as well?
No, it currently has 12-foot travel lanes and 3-foot paved shoulders. We will continue with the 12-foot lanes and 3-foot paved shoulders. There won't be any additional widening other than whatever gravel shoulder remains beyond the 3-foot pave. We would gravel, but we wouldn't be widening.
Are there plans to widen it? Because I thought at one time that there was a plan to widen 39th Avenue.
No, I don't believe, not south of 165, I don't believe there really is. And I know certainly now the traffic volumes wouldn't warrant, although they are relatively high for a county trunk highway, it wouldn't warrant an important expansion anytime in the near future.
Super, thank you.
Supervisor Grady?
Just a question, Gary. Does this vary at all from what we saw in our budget and in the CIP, or is this essentially similar? Can you comment on that?
This would be exactly what you would have seen in the CIP, other than the projects in the local road improvement program weren't, we had the funding, the 50% match available because we knew there was going to be an allocation, but we had not chosen which projects would be included in the local road improvement program at that time. So the mileage is what would then reflected in the budget and in the CIP.
Then a follow-up question. On the striping, are we currently doing striping as a county, or is that bid out?
All of our striping is bid up.
Just on the added paper for press for proposals?
Yes, we bid all. We do our own markings, like stop bars, turn arrows, railroad crossing markings, and that type of thing. We do that ourselves, but all the long line striping is bid up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anything else for Gary on that? Otherwise, you have some more stuff, right?
A few things. It's the time of year where the grass is growing rapidly. We're trying to keep up with our mowing. We only have about three or four mowers out on a daily basis on the county's trunk system. During the month of June, you can't keep up with three or four mowers, so it gets away from us a bit. We're 11 months out of the year, it's not a problem, but June is just one of those months. But we do have people out every day, rain or shine, mowing. So we actually made some changes this year where we are trying to become a little bit more efficient in our routes and our methods. So hopefully it'll improve, but it's always something that we hear a lot about from the public because it's obviously quite visible out on the road. Another item, the fuel system that is being designed as a replacement of our existing unleaded and diesel fuel system out at the county center is the design is pretty much completed. We've got some initial cost estimates from our consultant, and the cost estimates are considerably higher than what we had budgeted for last year. Last year, when we initially were looking at this replacement project, we went to the different vendors and consultants involved in fuel systems and took a tried to get some advice on typical replacements, and we used the figure of $350,000 in the budget for this project, but it looks like it's likely going to end up higher than that. So we will be looking internally for that funding and to see if we can't find within our existing budget some funding. If something has to be put off or delayed, we may possibly propose that, but we will certainly be coming to you as a committee and the finance committee and explain what we would need to do to complete the project, and of course ask for your consideration of that any budget modifications that we would need. So, but that's yet to come. We'll probably have a more detailed report at next month's meeting. And then finally, we're having two public informational meetings on highway projects this month. On June 21st, we're having a public informational meeting about the Highway S reconstruction project that's between Highway H and 31. That meeting on the 21st is from 4:30 to 6:30, and it will be at the Summers Village Hall building. The second meeting, again, same week, June 23rd, we're having a public informational meeting about the Highway F project out in Village of Twin Lakes in town of Randall. Runs through the adjacent to the Katy parkland, and that will provide future access to that parkland. That's June 23rd, again from 4:30 to 6:30, and that's at the Kenosha County Center building at Highway 50 and 45. We typically try to get a site closer to the project, but the school where we, Randall Grade School, where we used to typically have those project meetings, have their own building project out there, so they're unavailable. So anyways, those two public informational meetings later this month in June. And I'd be happy to provide any additional information on either of those. And that was all I had.
I want to just ask a question on the
Yes.
Mowing. Is the state reimbursing us on the mowing on the state highways? Is it gone to normal now, or is it?
They're reimbursing us time and materials for all the work we do on the state highways, and they have a new policy, and I think they're even making a new policy for the new policy, but which is unusual. But they become, in the urban areas, there's more flexibility in getting mowing done, particularly on the medians. In the rural areas, basically nothing's changed. We get to mow once a year. But in the urban areas, it's pretty much nonstop mowing. It's better, but it's not where we think it is.
Thank you, Gary. For the committee's information, when we have something like the fuel cell that we've been working on, initial estimates $350,000, now closer to $500,000, this will always come through this committee again, and will always come back through finance also. So no new money would ever be put into the budget. We had a really good streak going here this spring with our roofing project that was $200,000+ below cost. So when Gary says we'll be looking for where we do, Mr. Kupfer and Ray and I went over some of it this week, you find savings there and the possibility of that going to something as important as this fuel cell, but it will always come back to this committee and the finance committee, no new budgeting done. And we're hoping for some good results on some of these other spring and summer projects. The other thing, and on a couple of the items that we went over this week, we just won't be able to do them. And we're gonna hear about this tonight, the generator that we've been talking about for a few months. Now that we've had to move to taking the actual building outdoors of the existing building, that has not skyrocketed, but things have changed. So there's going to be other projects that aren't as important, but again, it will all come through us. So. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
And move on to the Parks Division, Matthew.
Thank you. First thing I have on my list, I discussed previous months, is our Emerald Ash Borer tree removal. And a few good updates on how that's progressing. The first thing we have is tree removal is finally completed. We have a couple of street locations over at Fox River Park and Petrifying Springs Park. They finally removed those logs from those areas, so we're 100% removed of all the logs from that project. So we can scratch that one off the list. Today was the first day for our contracted services for stump grinding. We have over 500 stumps in our open spaces that we need to grind this year. So we contracted out to start that program over at Petrifying Springs Park, and he'll be working Monday through Wednesday each week. And after he's done with pets, he's going to be moving over to Fox River Park to finish that one up this year. As I said, every single month our cleanup efforts is continuing on. Our staff is making great progress trying to clean up, especially on those tree lines, removing any hangers that was as part of the damage, collateral damage that happened with those trees. But we're going to be working and progressing with that, especially with our summer youth employment program that continue to move our brush from those tree line areas, and that'll still be a priority throughout the summer season. Then moving on to the Kemper Center, we have a coastal management plan. We're working with Barry Marine Specialists, and they are starting to work on the data collection for short-term, long-term solutions for that Kemper shoreline. If anyone did not see the pictures from this last winter, what happened, that's an annual event of those rocks getting blown to shore and a lot of damage, substantial damage that happens because of the northeastern winds along that shoreline. So we're working on that coastal management plan, hoping that we can have some short and long-term fixes for that quarter mile or so. The next project that we have going on in the parks is our Pike River bank stabilization restoration plans. This is being done through a partnership with Applied Ecological Services. We contracted out with them to conduct a bunch of surveys, data collection with the entire Pike River watershed within Petrifying Springs Park. They just finished up with the tree survey and existing condition survey, so they're collecting as much data as possible before they actually present these plans and how we can restore that water in the park. We also have KD Park, phase one. As Gary noted, we are working with R.A. Smith to finalize the plans for the survey and wetland delineation. And we'll be working and progress towards the developing of engineering and construction documents, so we can go out to launch that in July. So hopefully, I know that we'll probably have more information for the July report, see how that's progressing. For Fox River Park, we, as Gary noted again, we started on Wednesday with the highway crews paving that park, so they're doing an amazing job. Now I'd say about two-thirds done with that park and parking lots over at Fox River. And also, just to mark your calendars with Fox River, the actual river itself, we are opening up the Fox River Water Trail and having our grand opening of the water trail on June 22nd at 9 o'clock a.m. And that'll be over at the Fox River boat launch area right off County Highway F. And I'm sure we'll get a flyer out to the entire county board of that grand opening event and ribbon cutting. But we have four strategic launch sites located throughout the entire Kenosha County where people can use their non-motorized watercraft to launch from. So it's kind of a cool little project that started in Illinois, and we're kind of building on to the whole entire Fox River watershed to make it more accessible for recreation purposes. Also, we have our Summer Youth Employment Program starting. This is an annual program where we take underprivileged kids from throughout the community and we give them employment opportunities within our parks. We have approximately, I would say, 50 at-risk youth that work between our eastern and western parks. We split them in half, so half will be going over to Petrifying Springs Park, and the other half will be starting up Fox River Park, mainly working on landscaping those stump grindings, cleaning up our tree lines, and a lot of physical work, which will pay off for the kids. We're looking forward to having part of our team. A lot of special events this month. We have movie nights that start last Thursday of each month, June through August. This coming weekend as well, we have Rebels and Redcoats, a Revolutionary War reenactment at Petrifying Springs Park. So it'll be both Saturday and Sunday. Both days it's from 10 o'clock a.m. to 4 p.m. So if you haven't been a part of that, please join us. We got also that coexists with that. If you're a runner, we got a run walk at Pets Park on the 11th of Saturday, too. So two bigger events in one park, but we find room for them. And then finally, another event that we help host is with the county exec's Dairy Air Bike Ride. That'll be on June 18th. I think we have an attachment of both the Revolutionary War reenactment and Dairy Air Bike Ride onto your handout. And then one cool event that we just had, that I know you guys heard about, it was in the paper and also mentioned in the county board meeting. It was a grand opening this last Saturday of our Silver Lake Mountain Bike Trails. This volunteer group did a phenomenal job. I'm going to pass around a map and some pictures of the event, but this group did basically 9.36 miles of single track trails throughout the Silver Lake Park. And then we also have 2.64 miles of hiking, ski, and bike trails. So basically, that's a combined 12.8 miles of trails that are either for mountain bikers or walkers, hikers, and they get used year-round and with numerous different activities. So we finally had an opportunity to do a grand opening this last Saturday. Even though the weather didn't cooperate, we still had 35 diehards that were out there utilizing the trails and just being supporting that event. So it was really a nice event that we got to thank those volunteers for what they created for our patrons, and it's free of charge too. So other than that, that's all I had. I know John Rudy had a couple different items as part of the report.
Okay, Mr. Chairman and County Board of Supervisors, I want to thank you for all the support you've given myself and the Parks Division all these years. The list of projects and improvements that we have accomplished together are very long, whether it was from parkland acquisition to trying to get a cannon from the U.S. Army. You guys have always been receptive and supportive. You should be very proud of everything that you guys made possible in the last 8 years as Mike and Mary and Parks Division. It has been my distinct pleasure to serve Kenosha County for just short of 42 years. So that's all I got to say here. And then, so thank you. We're going to move on, Dennison, to the CIR.
The sewer report?
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
That's the big, thick thing that you have here.
Yes. I hope everybody read it. So, it's very interesting. We did have one exceedance in December, but at that point, it's just pure water. There's no sewage. Everything shut down, so we weren't docked for that. But for the supervisors who don't know, we have a small activated sludge sewage treatment plant up at Brightondale Golf Course. And the superintendent of the golf course is also a certified operator, and he operates that plant. Well, what you see before you is an annual report of the activities of that plant. And on the back, you'll see a grade summary. And that plant received a 4.0, so it's operated exceptionally well. But what I am required to do before the DNR will accept this report from you is bring this report to you for your review and approval, which requires the full knowledge of, before I can submit it to the DNR.
Right. So this doesn't go to the county board, so tonight I'm going to be asking. I'm sure everybody read this. A motion to accept and approve the report.
So moved.
Moved by Supervisor Grady. Seconded by Supervisor Bostrom.
But I have a question.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The amount of sludge.
Affluent.
The suspended solids. How much are we talking about? I mean, I know we have to take it to a specialized landfill, but that's correct, or no?
Yeah, I'd have to look. I'd have to talk in my head.
Because coming from the city and my involvement with the sanitary system there, we're talking about significant dollars. I can't imagine that this is anywhere near that.
Yeah, well, what happens with us is it's pretty reasonable because it's such a small plant. We have had sanitary come in and pump off somewhere between 3,000 to 5,000 gallons of sludge a year,
okay,
and then they dispose of it. So
Our
real cost is just having to pump it all the way.
Got it.
It's very insignificant, okay, you know, compared to the city of Kenosha.
Yeah. Yeah. I, for my own frame of reference, I was just trying to get an idea. Thank you very much.
So we have a motion and a second. Any other questions for John on that? If not, youth and governance, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
So that carries, John, you don't need anything else than that, right? That's all you need us to do on that? Yeah, okay. Anything else, Matt?
No, that was it.
Okay.
I got a question for Matt.
Yes.
Or John, if you want. Invasive species of KB, how are we doing with those? What's the latest situation there?
Well, we extensively cut down phragmites as part of last year's program. We actually received some grant funding for treating of the phragmites that was around the actual lake itself. That grant does not exist for this year, but I did talk to the park superintendent about controlling what we already sprayed so it doesn't come back again. We already saw this new growth even this year after we sprayed it. This phragmite is a very tough species to control, and you have to treat it multiple times. So we did talk about that. It's on our to-do list to try to control it and spray it again, especially where we already put in the time and the effort in the last few years.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I was down by the lake last weekend, even say, in most spots, it's still very contained, but it will be popping again. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of questions.
Sure.
You mentioned 500 stumps have to be ground from the removal of trees, and you hire a contractor. But is it one contractor, or are there multiple contractors?
This would be one contractor.
And who is the contractor?
Seasonal Solutions received the bid. We went out to bid for them, and after reviewing it, he was the cheapest.
Does that include the hauling away of the waste that's produced?
No, he's pushing that back into the hole. For safety reasons, we didn't want to have that hole exposed. And 500 stumps, we actually bid out two separate components of that. One was for the stump grinding, and the second was for the landscaping.
Okay.
And we just did not have the funds budgeted sufficiently for that landscaping. So therefore, the summer youth employment program, we're going to have those 50 students come in. They're going to be digging them out, throwing the topsoil, and doing more of the landscaping for that.
Okay. Thank you for that. As it relates to the Kemper Center shoreline protection issue, erosion, have they started throwing around numbers as to what that may cost? Because again, my frame of reference with the city that, you know, they had to do, you know, a rather significant reconstruction of Southport Park, talking about $1.2 million, $1.3 million for, presumably, I think it would be about the same size as what Kemper is. Any discussion about that?
We are in the infancy stages, so at least looking at potential solutions. There's numerous ways to fix a shoreline, and we have to take those data sets of the LIDAR data along with any other data that they're going to collect to see how the wave interaction, because it's different on every segment of Lake Michigan, so you can't do apples to apples without really seeing the impact and the depth and the water impact and the wave action with the winds. So there's a lot of data that needs to go and collect, and that to get to the point of seeing what that cost will be.
Okay.
Because we're trying to see, because we know that the long-term solutions probably will have a hefty price point. So that's why we're looking at strategic ways to do this, maybe even in phases, protect it on a short-term way, but then integrate that into long-term fixes. So that's something that we communicated with Baird, and as they kind of progress with the findings, we'll start to work together on those short and long-term fixes. But we're about a month into this project, so we're still in the data collection.
How long do you think it'll take to complete the analysis?
I would say another maybe 3 months or so. We should have a better idea of what we're dealing with there.
And then is that a report that comes to this committee? For
yes.
It'll come to us, and there's going to be other things in play if you've been watching the news in Wisconsin recently. The possibility, as you saw the Racine County executive declare a state of emergency for, I believe it's Mount Pleasant, to see how the state reacts, how the federal government reacts, we may also be able to tap into some federal or state funds. As you said, Supervisor, I've done probably 300 seawalls in my career, much smaller than what we're talking. And what we're talking, you're probably talking easily $1 million, so.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's something that we want to cover, and Ray knows a whole lot more about this.
Well, I wanted to actually shift gears a little bit, if we're
covering
on this.
I'm done. Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, we didn't specifically list it on the agenda tonight, but typically at this meeting, Val and the Pringle Nature Center get to do a little presentation and report. I'd like to do that kind of under the umbrella of Matt's division report. So if we're good with what Matt needed to cover, I'd like to give Val the opportunity to present that report.
Good timing.
So again, thank you for coming out tonight. So here's a copy of our usual annual report that we kind of type up for you guys. Since we are meeting a month early, our numbers are quite short, but I was actually surprised. I was looking at last year's numbers compared to this year's numbers, and without the month of June, we're about 1,000 visitors higher than last year. So we're going more out to some of the schools, and more people are coming and repeating programs. They're bringing their entire family out and making this their home away from home. One thing that I put in this report that I think I feel I should share is at one of my programs, like 4 years ago, there was a single mom, her daughter, her dad with his son. They met, talked, found out that they went to the same church, and I found out a year later they started dating. They came, was it back in October, November? They're engaged now. So I'm trying to persuade them to have it come full circle and have the wedding here. don't know, but hopefully. Our snowshoe rental was down because we didn't have a really good year for snow, so our snowshoe rentals were down. Our field trips are being booked. We're getting our schools coming back. We've got two new schools for our Mighty Acorns program, which is a stewardship program for our 3rd, 4th, and 5th grades throughout the Chicagoland area. They come out 3 times a year, collect seeds from the prairie in the fall. Wintertime, they come cut buckthorn, they blow a rose, and the spring they pull garlic mustard. We had talked to Brompton School over a year ago, and then we get this call with Lou, because like we'd like to do it for next school year. Like, yes. We also got Pleasant Prairie School on board as well for this Mighty Acorns program. And I found out the story where I told you with Brother Engage, her daughter goes to Pleasant Prairie School, so she's excited that her daughter will be able to come out for multiple visits a year out here. Our homeschool science, last year it took a month to get to max enrollment. This year it took a week. I got a phone call within 30 minutes of sending out the email with the registrations. Like, am I too late? I'm like, you're the first person to call. So our homeschool programs are going strong. Our summer camps start next week. Our 6 to 8 year old camps and our 4 to 5 year old camps, they're all full. Our 9 to 12 year old junior naturalist camps are about 70 to 80% full for those. So those are gonna run for 10 weeks through the summer. We've got all our usual programs. I'm really excited Matt was on board because I was scrolling through Facebook at home one day and there was this International Mud Day, so we're gonna have a program for that. We're just gonna fill some kiddie pools with mud and have people come out and play to their heart's content. That's June 29th, so if you wanna be a kid at heart and get muddy, come on out, 1:30, it's the start time. We've created a few new programs. One of the first ones is called Cabin Fever Crafts. We wanna get more adult programming out here, so we had it on the Tuesdays in February and we made homemade soap, we did bread making, basket weaving, and nature photography. We also added another story time, but this one for ages 5 and under, and that's been really popular too. One of our board members, his wife, helped bring it to all the story times she brings her kids to that she has a daycare for. So got other families out that way. We're also gonna be doing yoga in the park after working with Matt, getting some of those little fine details ironed out. As soon as the yoga instructor gets her final certifications, we'll be working out a contract and setting up some dates to get some yoga out here. We also were approached by the Kenosha Aging and Disability Resource Center. There's a program called SPARK, and it started out in New York City at MoMA to get adults with dementia out and doing stuff. And so we'll be the 2nd nature center in the state to do this program and the 3rd in the nation to do this SPARK program. partnering with the Kenosha Public Museums, and we're going to be alternating months for who's doing the program where. Our volunteer, who's a PR professor over at Carthage, helped her students do the PR for a 5K run. Barry likes to say that he worries about two things: either nobody shows up or everybody shows up. And everybody showed up this year. We doubled the attendance thanks to the help to the Carthage kids. They were able to get like 5 or 6 additional sponsors we've never had before, local gyms. So that got a lot more people out. So we're hoping for the same numbers for this year's run. We once again got the Thrive Financial $250 gift card from Bob and Julie Pringle. But they also enrolled us in the Thrivent Choice Dollars, so whoever's in Thrivent, they can say, hey, I want you guys to allocate so much money towards this organization. So we're hoping to get more funding through that program. We also received the Susan B. Anthony Women of Influence Grant, and so what we're going to do is create a program with high-tech scientific tools for girls to try and encourage them to go into the STEM careers. And we're hoping for them to meet once a month. And so what we'll have are like trail cameras set up around the trails, digital thermometer, digital microscope, weather reader, and all the whole kit and caboodle. And this is based off of Upham Woods. They share with all the nature centers in the area, you know, this program. And so we're hoping to kind of gear that towards getting girls into the more scientific communities. There's now a nature center kind of collaborative, and so within the little Southeast Wisconsin, we decided to create, it was a Children and Nature Alliance, but at our last meeting, we decided, you know, kids aren't the only ones who need to go out into nature, so we're just doing a nature alliance just to try and persuade more people to come out into nature and away from technology. Richard Luke now has a thing called Vitamin N, people onto nature and being that vitamin nature out there. We also burned our prairie last month, 2 months ago. So it is coming back beautifully from that prairie burn. And we had a couple Eagle Scout projects that Matt was able to get kind of done here. So we already talked about the chimney swift tower, but there's also the cell phone solar charger station. I actually had a chaperone thought, you know, she opened it and she's like, what do you guys have this year? You're a nature center. You know, I thought I was supposed to open it and be like, go out and explore nature. What are you doing on your phone? I'm like, oh, it's a way to show that solar energy can really help us out here. And then we have a whole Girl Scout. She took out the non-native plants and planted native plants around. So she's having a dedication ceremony on the 30th. And then lastly, Matt was working on the high flyer set as we kind of worked together, just, you know, kind of see the points. We didn't receive it for 2016, but we're working, really working, so hopefully fingers crossed we'll get it for 2017. So, with that, are there any questions for me?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, by the way, for what you do. It sounds like you're very busy.
Oh, yes.
Very, very good. Just because I'm new, I just want to kind of be up to speed. The schools that you reach out to, are they all the schools in the county?
Yeah.
You market to them? What do you
do? Kenosha Unified has a science coordinator, and she's able to send out the flyers, and we do, a lot of our returning schools are the county schools, and sometimes we go out to them to do a program.
Do you get much response from the city? The actual city schools?
Yeah.
More than the county?
Yeah, we get a good amount, because our curriculum is linked to the FOSS science kits, and that's what the teachers use in the classroom. So if they're not comfortable using one of those science kits in the classroom, they can come out here and we'll help them with it, or, you know, it's additional onto what they taught in the classroom.
Good. And do you also reach out to, like, parochial schools or, like, the Boys and Girls Club?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and we do Boy Scout programs, Girl Scout programs, badge work. We have volunteer days to help us clear out the invasive species. We do get groups from Oregon, Illinois. I'm starting to get a lot more coming down from Milwaukee. I'm like actually surprised at how many from Milwaukee are starting to come down.
One last thing. What about, I think you mentioned it, but senior citizens, you have specific programs?
The SPARK program is what's going to be specifically geared towards them. We do get, it's an organization called Careers. They come out and bring their adults with developmentally disabled, and they bring their residents out here to have lunch. And they actually did our their higher functioning ones did our basket weaving.
All right, thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Val. That's that. Everyone knows this partnership has been going on now for years and has really blossomed, and it's another one of those things that you mentioned, Mr. Rudy, about Matt's taking care of these things, and we've got Mr. Rudy for another month or so, I think, here. But this relationship here, and Barry will tell you that it blossomed with Mr. Rudy working with the people here. And our disc golf is another public-private partnership that just exploded. If you go to Fox River Park and now Silver Lake Park, and the perfect new example is this bike trail thing, and we keep trying more and more of that. But it's been the openness of the Parks Department, and you don't find that everywhere. Some people say, and just walk away from these things, but we didn't, and we've really opened up our parks to a whole new group of people. If you go to Fox River Park and see the people at disc golf, they're not the people that I usually deal with, you know. And I mean, it's a whole new group of people using those parks, and it's just a beautiful thing. So again, thank you, John, for those things. Thanks, Val. So now move on to golf.
We've been sending out an email blast to over 20,000 people, and our database is growing, and it's really producing good results. Our spring scramble was held Saturday, May 7th, and we had over 100 people signed up for it, 100 that actually showed up for it. 16 under par, 56 won the event, and they all won season passes, so it was a well-attended and lucrative event for us. On Friday, May 13th, we had our senior scramble. That was our first time hosting this event, and we had 79 players sign up, and that was on a weekday. So that really helped out too. And that was a two-person scramble, and the winning team shot 64 and also won senior passes for the year. Our next big initiative is going to be our junior golf clinics. They will be both at Brightdale and at the Fighting Springs. At Brightdale will be at 8 o'clock until about 1 o'clock on Wednesdays. At the Fighting Springs, it'll be Wednesdays and Thursday evenings from 4:30 to about 8 o'clock at night. So those are well attended. We usually get about 100 kids that sign up for that. Plus, we already had an after-school program that we had 12 kids for. Bristol School right next to Brightdale, so that was great. Academy and Leadership Academy has had their couple training programs. They're going to have a soft opening this weekend where just the new caddies are going to be there, but they're actually going to start a full force at Pine Springs on Saturday, June 18th, and they'll be running for 8 weeks until the middle of August. And then we'll be having a wrap-up meeting there, we have 21 caddies at this point, so it is a full field for the caddies, and we're looking forward to getting them out and getting them to be mentored by our golfers. So that's working well for the second year. The comments of the golf courses have just been outstanding. I mean, just everybody's been raving about the golf course conditions. The greens are in phenomenal shape. You know, I've had a guy, he said, I have four different houses across the world. He said, I play golf everywhere. He goes, this is my favorite golf course. So I think that was just flabbergasted to hear a comment like that. So, the greens and the fairways have been their biggest positive. The biggest negative is the sand traps. And we're working diligently to fluff them up every single day so that they play more consistently. Projects that we're involved with is still the MLS cleanup, a lot of that going on at Petrifying Springs. We're behind, as Gary had said, with the June growing, everything's going crazy, so you know, we really have to stay on top of the mowing now to continue our good reviews. And so
That kind of gets pushed to the back burner for a little while until things slow down a little bit, but we're working hard to get that cleaned up when we can. The deep well that went in at Frankdale Links, that was done by May 6th. We haven't had to test it yet with all the rain that we've gotten, but pump station professionals did a really good job of that. The Frankdale Blue Spruce irrigation is continuing. We got all of our main line in. We have the 8-inch pipe in. We've got a little bit of 4-inch to do, and then just we have about 4 holes left to do. But with the wet weather, they weren't able to open up the turf to get the big pipe in. So the company's about 3 weeks behind, so we pushed it from June 1st to about June 24th as our completion date. They're working hard to get it done as quickly as possible, and they're an excellent company, Midwest Irrigation, to work with. And then we looked at the paving project at Petrified Springs for the shop road, the maintenance shop road, and the shop yard, and there's just so many springs along that road. There's a lot of undercutting of the pavement there, and so we're working to try and find a solution to that problem so that makes more sense than just putting asphalt on top of it. That'll last a couple years and then be poor again. You know, so we're really, we need to look at the engineering of that whole project and try to mitigate either the water or possibly even find a different solution for the maintenance shop.
Thank you, Dan. Ray?
I just wanted to echo what Dan just talked about, because we really had looked at, we had budgeted money kind of generically to resurface the, if anybody's been up to Pets Golf Course, there's a maintenance road that runs back to the maintenance facility. And we had kind of generically just, we're going to resurface it because it's in pretty rough shape. But Dan took a look at it, and then he grabbed Gary and Clement, and they went and looked at it, and then they grabbed me, and then I said, okay, we're not going to do this, because if we were to resurface that, probably we'd get 3 years, probably max, out of it, because there's so much hydrology, underground water and stuff that would completely destroy whatever it is we did. So we're going to look at it, as Dan indicated, more kind of holistically and look what really makes sense, so when we fix it, it's good for 15 to 25 to maybe plus years, and not just kind of band-aid it and call it good. So it's something that we're going to do some immediate stuff so that he can at least get his equipment in and out, these $80,000 to $100,000 greens mowers that cut grass within a few thousandths of an inch are pretty precision instruments, and if you drive them across really deteriorated blacktop, you're going to do a lot of damage to some very expensive equipment. So we're kind of surgically kind of addressing some of the things up there, but not putting a ton of money in it, just so that he can run his equipment without doing any damage. But we're really going to look at that holistically and look probably to propose something in the 2017 budget. So just wanted to make it clear.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Rick. If there's nothing else, we'll move on to Mike at Facilities.
4 quick projects to report on. First one's at the safety building. We upgraded the fire alarm panel. Project started back in February and we finally completed it on May 27th. Came in on budget. And the second one is also at the safety building, and this is a new project. We're upgrading the security level and the evidence and ID bureau. It's a $13,000 project. We're going to add 5 cameras, 3 panic pendants, and reinforce a couple metal doors just to up the security in there. Joint Services have done an audit through a company and they suggested these upgrades, so they pushed for it and we budgeted, and now we're starting that project. So, scheduling is going to be forthcoming. Third one is at KCDC. Remember, we have the courtyard ID pocket repair project. That one started on 4/25 and it's completed also on May 27th, so that one went real well. And then the last one is at the job center. We're also upgrading the fire alarm panel. Panel's actually obsolete. We just signed a quote to have it replaced for $4,000, and we're setting up a schedule for that also.
Okay.
Can you elaborate on the panic buttons for the evidence and ID bureau?
Around the collar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for a couple of technicians.
Okay.
Somebody comes in there.
That's what it
is. The sergeant's office.
Okay. That makes more sense. I was wondering what that is. Okay. Thank you.
Yes, Bill?
Comment, Mr. Chairman. That is the focus and energy. I've taken a little bit of interest in looking at the retrofitting of the public buildings that Kenosha County owns. And I'm very pleased to see that not only is it more energy efficient, considering Kenosha money, but the paybacks are amazingly short. And if you look at these public work projects, you talk about payback, it's often, you know, 5, 10, 15 years. We're looking at a year and a half, 18 months, 2 years. All that's money in the bank, we're eco-friendly, and I think it's really, we're not maybe unique, but it still is a feather in Kenosha County's cap, and your ability to manage some of these projects that we're moving forward at an accelerated pace. So I just wanted to know that we're all pleased with that progress.
I've been that's
pretty soon we won't even have this list.
The majority of it is
to start a new one.
I think what's left on to do is really our in-house electrician, and most of it's so minor that he's using it still.
Right.
It's just our
right.
Important stuff to do now. I didn't even report on the list because the only change I had was just changing some completions date at the end of last year, and it would just be pushed with the priorities for the end of this year. So.
That's it, Mike. So now. We get into the meat of the matter here with Frank.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First item is the Kenosha County Center Highway Garage Roof Replacement Project. If you remember, we had a consultant audit all of the roofs throughout Kenosha County, put them in order of best to worst condition, and the Highway Garage roof was the worst, and having been up there quite a bit and seeing all of the holes in it, it was pretty bad. It needed to be replaced. And they've been struggling with leaks for many years, and so the Highway Department's patience after seeing how bad it was greatly appreciated. We started on April 14th. We had the roof completely watertight, the membrane completely sealed. And by May 19th, in 5 weeks, that was actually a little ahead of schedule. The sheet metal work and the replacement of safety ladders and some guard railing we're going to be putting in should be completed by the middle of June on time. So we're looking pretty good on that project. And as the chairman mentioned, we came in under budget over $200,000 on this project. And I want to again stress that that was due to the teamwork of Jim Kupfer and Ray Arbit. We all worked together in getting that bid out before the end of last year. And we never had 15 vendors show up for a bid before we had that for this project. So really it was teamwork that made this such a positive project. If there's no other questions, I'll move on to the next item. We have the fire alarm replacement project at the courthouse. If you remember, the courthouse fire alarm system was getting quite old and the parts were becoming very hard to get. So we had to go back and look at a whole new system, and the codes had changed. So that forced us to go to a system that was actually announcing the fire alarms, and Jim Kupfer has a resolution for this project.
Okay, I'm not sure how familiar everyone is with the process. Thank the chairman here for explaining that anytime we move money around, somebody has to approve it. In some cases, it's this committee and the finance committee. If we're just moving the money around from project to project within a division or an appropriation unit, if we're going to move money from project to another project that's outside of an appropriation unit, then in addition to your approval, the finance committee approval, it'll also have to go to the county board, and there'll be a budget modification. So what we have tonight, I know there's varying degrees of experience with different kind of committees, but we have two resolutions. The first one is we need to move some money around to complete some fire alarm system. There's a spreadsheet. I don't know. It looks like, I'll just make sure you got it in front of you. Looks like this. I see we've got computers and we've got paper. So we're looking at the one that talks about the fire alarm systems. And we started out the year in 2016 budget with $277,000 for a variety of projects, some small, some large, some are just components, some are panels, and then there's this big one for the courthouse, and we had originally budgeted $180,000. And I'm not going to get real technical on what changed, but the forecast came through for $220,000, which means we got to come up with $40,000 somewhere. Because we don't want to ask for additional money, so we'll just move some money around and maybe move out a project. So what we did was the we needed a new panel for the downtown admin building. So we're going to move that money out, and you'll see that again proposed in 2017. So that provides $15,000 of the $40,000 that we need. And then the PSB project, which we originally budgeted for $60,000, Mike just told us that he finished it for $35,000. So we have $25,000 left over. So we'll take the $25,000 from the PSB project and the $15,000 from the KCAB, and that gives us the $40,000 to finish up the courthouse project. Same total, moving money around, we just have to push one project out. So the, all those words on that resolution, that's what that says.
Does anybody have any questions on that? That part of the, any of the math? If not, what we're asking for tonight, because I think this will go to finance, is for this committee, yes, it does go to finance, this committee to approve a resolution, to approve these changes.
So moved.
Moved by Supervisor Grady, or Supervisor O'Day? Or do you second it?
Yeah, sure.
Any questions, discussion? If not, Youth and Governance in favor?
Aye.
Committee, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So there will be a original coming around for signatures. Okay.
Thank you very much. This, the next one we have is for, there's a spreadsheet that looks like this, for the public safety building generator project. We, over the last year or two, I don't know either Frank or Ray, if they need to elaborate, they can answer a few questions, but we've had some issues with the generator in the public safety building. So we had planned to replace that generator for $175,000 in the 2016 capital budget. In order to do everything that we needed to do, there's a change in, we're gonna, in the capital budget to remodel the whole second floor of the PSB. You'll be learning more about that in the budget as we go forward in the budgeting process. The new specs that are required for a generator in the type of building for the PSB have changed. So that's going to cause us to actually build a room instead of replace where this generator is. And a few other, the bid that we have is $350,000 or $175,000.
It's actually an estimate.
It's an estimate. Yeah. Okay. You guys just stop me from my technical. So how do we get this $175,000? We have in the budget this year, and it's actually been sitting there for over a year, some money to replace some plumbing in the public safety building as we remodel for the medical examiner emergency center. We will include in that project the cost of doing this plumbing, because we're going to be remodeling where the plumbing is, so we'll just include it as part of that project. So rather than spend that money this year and then have to replace it when we do the remodeling, we use $107,000 from the PSB plumbing project. And then we've also had some issues with the generator at the job center. That's KCJC, that's Kenosha County Job Center on South Sheridan Road, and we had a budget in 26 or this year to replace that. We're going to push that back. That one's not as bad.
It's a new one.
Yeah. Okay. A new, well, it doesn't exist. It's a new generator. Okay, so instead of doing that this year, we'll continue with what we've been doing in the past, push that out into the 2017 budget, use that money to do the PSB generator, which we have to fix. So that is where we would get the $175,000. So we wouldn't borrow anything extra this year, we wouldn't have to do anything, but we will have to make a change to next year's budget for the KCJC generator. So that's where that $175,000 will come from.
Any questions for Jim on that? Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you for the explanation on how the money's getting moved around. And
okay.
I'm glad you chimed in and said estimate, not bid. Because
yeah.
That was going to be my first question, is how many bids did we have? So we have an estimate, presumably, from staff?
No, we've actually been working with a consultant, electrical engineer, to develop the detailed specs for this project. And we're just at the point we've got enough information where he was able to put a firm estimate together. So the estimate we had last year for budget purposes really was based on us replacing kind of an apple for an apple.
Got it.
And when we got in there, the current, if you can picture, it's the northwest corner of the safety building. If you get a chance, drive around. The building actually comes to a point, a triangular point. In that triangular point is where the existing original generator for the building is. And it's shoehorned in there in such a way that, as best as we can figure, they built some of the building around the generator.
Okay.
It's not up to code. It's distance to electrical panels and other things that are an issue. And the bottom line is we're planning on moving the medical examiner into the safety building next year. We're starting the design work for that. You can hear about that in a little bit. But we're doing the design work. We know that we're going to have coolers and other high energy use things. So when we looked at that generator, we looked at what really was the appropriate size given some of the additional load that we were going to need to carry going forward a year or two. We're building that in. And the bottom line is that generator has to come out of that little triangle and go outside. And that's those are the two things that really drove this thing to the extreme where it's at.
Okay. So thanks for that explanation.
And then the longer story is we needed that twice this year, once this year.
Four times.
But the first time everything was fine, and it's so old.
1980.
Not by people standards, but by a generator standard, that we actually had someone that luckily had some diesel know-how make parts, because we couldn't get parts in. So that's what we were doing for our public safety building, which 911, everything there. So we're not like we were with the 60th Street Tower waiting for an ice storm, but we could be waiting for a problem, and this has a priority compared to the rest of these items.
I was going to say, this generator is the backup to our IT division. So it's a critical component. We're keeping things up and running. And now it's the lead time to get the parts. And we just can't afford
it. If you can get them.
Well, we made parts.
Right. We've got the diesel mechanic, the head of the mechanics from the highway department to take a look at what had happened. Was it ran? We lost power for 14 hours. It ran flawlessly. And then we started it the next week for its weekly test, or attempted to start it. And it said, I don't think so. I ran 14 hours last week. I'm done. And he was able to come up with a generic component that needed to be modified that he was able to then replace, because there was no OEM parts available for it.
You got it out of a truck.
Right. It was equivalent of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it was. It was from a truck. Truck in.
So any other questions or discussion? If not, do we have a motion on this resolution?
Moved
by Supervisor Frankel, seconded by Supervisor Wambo. I'll get it. I've got most of them. I've got it. Any discussion? If not, you the governess, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Committee, all those in favor?
Aye.
So it carries. Thank you. And there'll be an original coming around again to go to finance. Anything else, Frank?
No, not on that one. We've got the PSB addition, the second floor project. Kind of a recap. When they put the addition onto the public safety building, the second floor was left empty for future expansion. We're at that point where we need to one of the big drivers is bringing the medical examiner in-house. They're currently housed, their offices down at the job center. Their lab and other rooms are down at the hospital. Their lease is up at the hospital. They need to move that all, and to, for the efficiencies of the operation, bring it all together in one area, one roof. Also, we've had some expansion of the Sheriff's Department. They have some divisions that are off-site that need to move back in. And the Emergency Operations Center, which is, if you've ever seen it, it's rather small and needs to be brought up to date. So all three of those things are in play. And we're honing in right now on the space requirements of all three of those and the space that's available, working with the architect, Zimmerman, the original architect of the expansion. So this is very high value space. We have a limited amount of space down there and a lot of very important functions that need to take place down there, such as the ELC. So right now we're honing in on our plans and getting the spaces allocated, trying to see what parts will fit where in this. So we actually, we're at the point where we're thinking by the next meeting we'll be able to have some preliminary plans of where people would be. Any questions on that?
Bill?
Emergency Operations Center, that's that little pit that's in the basement where,
correct.
I'm just going to summarize for the committee. In the event of some large catastrophe or emergency, there's areas set up for each county government entity to take part, or press conference organization, so, you know, Wheatland, Randall, whatever the village of Summers. And it's a very small, confined area. So is the proposal to move it from that basement area to the second floor?
Yes.
Just approximately how many square feet do you have an idea of what we're looking at there?
The main room, 1,600 square feet.
The current space?
No, yeah. The new one.
The new one, the current space is only about, I want to say 1,200, and I believe we're going to roughly triple that, roughly. Because it's actually, the county agencies are in there, but it's the city agencies. Towns and villages have representatives depending on the nature of the event. So it's the 10 pounds in the 5-pound sack currently is what he's got down there, and we need to make it more appropriate. Yeah.
Agreed, it's definitely a very confined space.
The other thing though that we know we are going to do is because that space, it's going to be larger to accommodate, but we've focused on it being multifunctional space so that it's not sitting empty 95% of the time. It's going to be used for other purposes, but is primarily exists for the EOC and will be designed with that in mind, but it's going to be multifunctional space.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You mentioned the Sheriff's Department had some divisions or whatnot outside of the building. Can you elaborate what's coming back?
So we don't usually talk, but the precedent here is that they've got the off-site K-Dog unit, the drug enforcement unit. They desire to bring that investigation.
Is that the only one, though? Is it
yes.
Just the one division?
No. Yeah.
Thank you.
Anything else? Frank? Okay, Ray.
Brookside, a few things. Mm-hmm. Some of the committee may have heard that the project at Brookside continues. Actually, we're pretty much on schedule. We're probably about a week behind in one aspect of the project, but it's not a major thing. We did have some issues with the excavator that was involved in the project, but I'll get into all the gory details. We came fairly close to terminating that contractor, even though they were well vetted beforehand and there wasn't anything in their history that would indicate that we should have turned them down. They were the responsible low bidder and they passed all of the pre-qualification stuff that we required. But they had a series of issues, none of which resulted in any bodily harm or issues to anybody on the site, but they had the potential to. And it was for that reason that we came close to terminating their contract. We sat down with them. I called because the one event happened on a Friday afternoon, and the owner wasn't present at the time. He was on his way up to enjoy the weekend at his cabin. And instead, it was 7 o'clock the next morning, Saturday morning. He was sitting in front of myself and a number of other folks so that we could address the issues for good. We haven't had any issues with them since. They've completed the site utilities aspect of the project, which was the team on their of their company that had the issues. Their regular excavation crew that was doing all the footings and foundations work and other site work was fine. We haven't had any issues. They've worked really well. But their site utilities team was the team that we had issues with. That's all complete now. That work's complete. We're through it. So that is something, just in case you heard something through the grapevine, we manage that, and I think I know that we're through that process. Now, in terms of the soils, we have identified, as we've excavated for the footings and foundations, for there's really kind of four wings to this thing. If you've seen the prints, some of the newer members may not have seen the prints, but there's basically two wings that are a new addition that are going to be the community-based residential facility, the CBRF, as you hear it called. And then there's two wings that are two, those are single story. The other two wings are two story, and that's going to be for the physical therapy. So the two single story wings, the CBRF, that complete perimeter, if you've driven by, you can see that actually the foundations, the footings and foundations for those are all completely done. That's been backfilled. In fact, we were planning on doing what we call a proof roll of the inner part of what's formed by those walls to pour the slab on grade. We did the proof roll last week, Tuesday, actually prior, the Tuesday before, and there's a number of these things are not completely scientific, but basically there was enough moisture in the soil because it had rained. It didn't pass the proof roll test. And so the geotechnical engineer that has to sign off and say the soils are good enough for you guys to do what you need to do, he's like, man, we got to do something here. And the bottom line is we worked through a number of options. We met with him, a couple of other geotechnical engineers last week. We developed an option that went from what they originally threw out to us was a $500,000 figure to remediate the soils. We worked that down to a $55,000 concept that everybody's willing to sign off on. It's a very robust process, but it just took a little more creative thinking and pushing of the engineering guys to get it where it needed to go. So they've actually started that. And that work needs to take place, and then the plumbers can come in and actually put all the plumbing that's going to take go in the slab. That work actually starts Wednesday this week. So we lost about a week. We plan on having the plumber there last Wednesday to do it. He'll be there this Wednesday. The good news on the north end of the project, where the two-story two wings are going, well, the one we put decided that was the thing we came back to the board late in the budget process last year to add some additional monies to that project to create a basement. Now that's looking like genius, because all the soils that we're pulling out take us down to virgin. I was out there this afternoon looking, and we're down to virgin clay in those areas where the basement's going to go. Otherwise, if we would have left that non-basement in there, we would have had to done additional work to create the soil structure we needed to build that building. So it's really, that part of it looks really, really good. So I think we're through the lion's share of the soils issues, but there were some. We used about 300 yards of lean concrete. For those of you that aren't construction folks, it's basically a reduced bag mixture. So if we normally have 8 bags in concrete of cement in the concrete mixture, this is 4 bags, 3 or 4 bags. And what you do is if you encounter an area that has substandard soil, in this case, there were some organics or some, it looks like parts of that facility were a dump prior to it being the 1956 Brookside. There were some areas that some stuff was dumped there. Well, we encountered that, but it was fairly small areas. We still overdug those areas, poured lean concrete so that we could pour footings over the top of that lean concrete. And it's a very robust footing structure then when you do it that way. So we've got 300 yards of that. Like I say, then there's these other soil issues that we've come up with another way to work through that. And the bottom line is we've lost about a week, but we're pretty much full steam ahead at this point. So that's pretty much what's going on at the Brookside project.
I got some of the report on the Brookside trustees today, but the question about was there's contingency built into the project to cover. They had foreseen some of that stuff.
Correct. The initial soil borings that we took before we started the project indicated there were some issues. You don't know the full extent until you actually dig the whole thing open, but I feel good at this point that based on what we came up with last week, taking it from the $500,000 down to the $55,000, that we haven't pillaged our contingency fund. We've nicked it, but we haven't pillaged it. So we should still be in good shape for the rest of the project. When wall erection should start, I'm going to say late June, we'll start putting walls up, and those walls are all being pre-manufactured off-site, so it's going to go up pretty quick. So they'll come and pick in place and bolt them together on-site. That's pretty much it on Brooks. Okay. And the only other thing I had to report on was that we continue with our supervisory development program in the highway department, as well as some stuff for some supervisory and management leadership development for the county at large. I've been involved in that in a fairly big way, and it's very interesting. We're making, I think, some real strides towards developing the culture we need to really optimize our operations. And it's an interesting journey that I'm excited about where we're going to end up when this whole thing is done. So.
And it's a unique partnership between Brookside and the Highway Department.
Right. That's going to be part of the lean the lean stuff that we're going to start is with Brookside. Yep. That's it from my end, Mr. Chairman.
Anybody have any questions for Ray? If not, we've covered things. Would everybody remember that they said there was some cake for John over there? And I'd ask for a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor O'Day, second by Supervisor Grady. All those in favor for adjournment?
Aye.
Thank you, everyone, for coming out.